This is Brian Jenkins of Chosen 300 Ministries. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to join us on the web at www.chosen300.org, where you can learn about volunteer activities and also opportunities for giving. You can give by sending us a gift to Chosen 300 Ministries at P.O. Box 95, Ardmore, Pennsylvania, 19003. We also have an option for online giving right on our website at chosen300.org, and we also encourage you to designate your United Way or community giving gifts at your place of employment to Chosen 300 Ministries. This is a big help to our ongoing expense for our mission projects in Center City, Philadelphia. We want to thank you so much for joining to us today, and may God bless you and you enjoy today's message.
Our scripture this morning is found in Luke, the 8th chapter, verse 41 to 48. I want to thank God for our musicians and our praise team. Give them a great big hand for being here today. Amen. We also want to thank God for all these lovely volunteers that have come out. Some of them came from Boston. Some of them came from New York. Amen. To be a blessing to you today. Give them a great big hand for being here today. Amen. If you don't mind, just stand real quickly for the word of God, and then we'll get back to our seats. Luke, the 8th chapter, verse 41 through 48. It says, "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay dying. But as he went, the people thronged him, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched," somebody say touched, "the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, 'Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?' And Jesus said, 'Somebody have touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me.' And the woman saw that she was not hid. She came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace.'" Let us pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your word. Through your servant David, you said that we should make your word a lamp unto our feet and a light unto thy pathways, that you might hide your words in our heart, that we might not sin against thee. Now consecrate me now for thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. May my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. In Jesus' name, let us all say amen. 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 You may be seated. Amen. I am happy to be here this morning, and I thank God for the opportunity to share his word. Amen. Amen. Everybody all right? All right. Make sure everybody gets a seat, somewhere to go. Everybody got a seat? There's plenty good room. All right. You know, this morning I was really working on trying to get somebody else to speak. I probably tried about 5 times to get out of this because I was just kind of worn out, and probably about preaching about 20 messages in the last 4 weeks. It's been a challenge, but I really tried. I asked my wife, I said, "Can you do me a favor? Can you speak this Sunday?" And the kids and everything got in the way, didn't give a chance to prepare. Then I called some friends up. I said, "Would you come down and speak, please?" Everybody was busy. And then after I thought about it, that God had an assignment for me to do. And a lot of times that we try to give up our assignment, but I believe that this word is a sign for you today, that God wanted this word for you, because I tried every way to get out of doing it. So God has a word especially for you today. I was scheduled to be somewhere else, and I'll be there when I get there, but I think my priority is for you today. So I just want to let you know that you are very important to God, because he didn't want anybody else but me to be up here. So in our text in Luke, the 8th chapter, in the 41st through the 48th verse, we want to deal with the subject, when a bump won't do. Just turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor." Y'all sound quiet this morning. Let me try this again. Say, "Neighbor, when a bump won't do." When a bump won't do. You know, there is a substantial difference. There is a substantial difference between a bump and a touch. A bump and a touch. You know, when there is a large crowd like it is today, I'm excited that there's so many people here. But even in the process of trying to get a seat in here, sometimes you got to bump into people to kind of get to your destination. If you've ever been in a crowd trying to get to a certain place, you got to bump into people sometimes to get to where you want to go. You know, I love watching the news after Black Friday. I mean, I get a kick out of that, especially when they show the doors open at Walmart and everybody plastering over everybody to get a PlayStation, or somebody plastering over everybody to get something. It's just funny. First of all, they just out of their mind. But when you think about it, they really are not concerned about the people around them. They're not touching them for the purpose of having an encounter, but they're just bumping in them because of the fact that they are on the way to where they are trying to get to, or on the way for the purpose they are trying to fulfill. And a lot of times when we come out to church, we are not really interested in Jesus. We are just bumping into him on the way to Cheerios. We're bumping into him on the way during the week when it's time for chicken and macaroni and cheese and collard greens and all the things that we serve during the week. We're not really interested in having an encounter with Jesus. We're just bumping into him on the way. There's a difference between a bump and a touch. When someone bumps you, it involves just a happenstance of coming in contact with someone without the intention or purpose of having an impact by the result of that touch. You know, AT&T, they had a stream of commercials years ago. And the stream of commercials says, reach out and touch someone. Anybody remember those commercials? They always had some old lady calling up her son and just reaching out and touch, and they were just happy that they had the conversation and the call took place. And when AT&T was giving out these commercials, they were giving it out with the understanding that you're not going to pick up the phone and just start dialing randomly and see who picks up the phone, but you're going to call somebody that you knew with the intention of you either having an impact on them or them having an impact on you. And that's why AT&T said, don't reach out and bump somebody. AT&T said, reach out and touch somebody. You know, Diana Ross in 1970, she wrote a wonderful song. And the song says this. I love the words to the song. Just want to read them to you. It says, reach out and touch somebody's hand. Make this world a better place if you can. Take a little time out of your busy day to give some encouragement to someone who's lost the way. Or would I be talking to a stone if I asked you to share a problem that's not your own? We can change things if we start giving. Why don't you reach out and touch somebody's hand? Make this place a better place if you can. If you see an old friend on the street and he's down, remember his shoes could fit your feet. Try a little kindness, you see. If something that comes very naturally, we can change things if we start giving. Reach out and touch somebody's hand. Make this world a better place if you can. And what this song really was talking about is that the encounter with someone else, not just to rudely bump into them or to knock them over or just to have physical contact, but the idea of touching is that not only will you encounter that person, but the purpose of the encounter would be intentional and the result would be a positive impact on somebody else's life. Can somebody say amen? Amen. There's a difference between a bump and a touch. There's times in your life that a bump won't do that you will need to touch in order for an impact of that encounter to take place. Now, in our text, it is the same way that we have encounters with one another by way of touch instead of bumping can cause a positive impact. The same thing that we have with Christ. When we have an encounter with Christ, when you're just bumping into Christ, there really is no impact that takes place, but when you reach out and touch God, there is an impact or a result that does take place. There are five things that we should know about making our encounter with Jesus impactful. It starts out at Luke the 8th chapter, verse 41 to 43. It says, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had only one daughter. About 12 years of age, she lay a dying. But as he went the people thronged him, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all of her living upon the physicians, neither could be healed of any. The first thing that we must understand about the impact or touching Jesus, you can touch Jesus with or without an appointment. You know, I get kind of frustrated when I go to the doctor. I do not understand this with all. My wife tries to explain it to me. But when I go to the doctor, I make an appointment. I make an appointment at 12:30 that I want to see the doctor. I get there at 12:15, 15 minutes ahead of time, so I can sign the book. And, you know, I'm sitting there, 12:30 comes, look at my watch, doctor still doesn't come out, nurse don't come out. I'm just sitting in the waiting room at 12:30. About 1 o'clock, some nurse comes out, you know, with a clipboard saying, come back and follow me. They put you on a scale, they weigh you, they take your blood pressure, and then they stick you in a room, and you sit there, and you wait. And there was one time I was in the doctor's office for 2.5 hours, and finally the doctor shows up. I'm like, well, my appointment was at 12:30. Where have you been? But the difference is that when you have a want to reach out and touch Jesus, you don't necessarily need an appointment. In our text, there are two individuals that are here. The first one is Jairus. Jairus is a ruler of the synagogue, and he makes an appointment with Jesus. He goes to Jesus, and he says, Jesus, my daughter is 6 and she is about to die. Can you come? And Jesus had an engagement already to come to Jairus' house, and he started proceeding towards Jairus' house so he could see about Jairus' daughter. But there's another woman in the text. The woman in the text has an issue of blood. She does not make an appointment. She does not approach Jesus saying, can you come? Will you come? Can I schedule something with you? She just goes to Jesus to get what she needs, and she reaches out and touches him. I'm here today to tell you that you do not need an appointment with God. You can call him up, you can schedule it, but you can actually reach out and touch him right where you are. You know, there was a song when I was growing up. It says that you can call on Jesus anytime. You can call him in the morning, call him in the noonday, call him in the late midnight hour. I want to let you know that you do not need my bell. You don't need AT&T. You don't need Verizon. You don't need Singular. You don't need T-Mobile. All you need to do is to pick up the Holy Ghost phone and call on Jesus, and he can make everything all right. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. And you can reach out and touch him. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not of. You have to realize that we have access to God. The problem is that we're calling on everybody else. We're calling on the shrink. We're calling on the physicians. We're calling on the lawyers. And yes, God puts those people in place, but before I call on anybody, the first call I need to make is to call on Jesus, because if I call on the name of Jesus, every devil in hell has to bow. If you call on Jesus, every heathen in the earth has to bow. He says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess he is Lord. Your situations has to bow. Your problems have to bow. Your condition has to bow. Your joblessness has to bow. Your hunger has to bow. Your situations that cause you havoc and your life had to bow, but all you need to do is don't make an appointment, but just reach out and touch him. Don't bump, because a bump won't do, but if you reach out and touch Jesus, everything will be all right. Somebody say, you don't need an appointment. All you got to do is call him. There's 5 things that we have to know about making in our encounter with Jesus impactful by way of touch and not having a bump with Jesus. Well, what is the second thing? The second thing is that there is no limitation on who can touch him. I want to repeat that. There is no limitation on who can touch him. Remember, there's 2 people in our text. there is a young ruler who's in the synagogue. Now, our understanding of the rulers in the synagogue, it was a place of status. It was a place of high esteem. They were well taken care of. They did not have to worry about any financial obligations. Their house was taken care of. Their living was taken care of. They didn't have to worry about food because of the fact the rulers of the synagogue were the leaders of that society, and they were taken care of. They were in well status. But here this man Jairus comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, can you see about my daughter, because she needs a touch from you? But then this other woman, she had money at one point, and we know this because the Bible says that she had an infirmity for 12 years, and the scripture says that she had went to the doctors and she spent all she had. You have to understand, if you go to the doctors for 12 years, you're going to break some bread out of your pocket. She had went to the doctors for 12 years and she had spent all she had, and she ran out. How many people ever feel like there was a time in your life that you just ran out? It was all over. You had something at one point. You had potential at one point, but it ran out. You had money at one time, but it ran out. You had a job at one time, but it ran out. You had a home at one time, but it ran out. You had a woman at one time, and she ran out. You had a man at one time, and he ran out. You had friends at one point, and they ran out. You had family at one time, but they ran out. This woman was in condition where everything had ran out. And there's going to come a time in your life that you might have something right now, but all of us go to a point in our life where things have ran out. And it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're the ruler of the synagogue that has plenty, or you're somebody that has ran out. I want to let you know, everybody has the opportunity to reach out and touch Jesus. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're black, white, Hispanic, Asian. I don't care if you're rich, poor, old, young, fat, skinny, whatever you want to be. You have to realize that whoever you are, you have the potential and the opportunity to reach out and touch Jesus. Just lift up your hands and say, I can touch him too. Oh, y'all kind of quiet. Just make sure that you get that this morning. Just lift your hands and say, I can touch him too. Oh, hallelujah. There's no limitation on who can touch him. There are five things that we're talking about this morning that makes our encounter impactful. Well, what is the third thing? The third thing is that bumping into Jesus will not do. Bumping into Jesus will not do. Let's look at the text, Luke 8:45. It says, and Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee. And sayest thou, who touched me? The disciples, they were kind of confused at Jesus' question. There was a large crowd. It's kind of like me standing in the middle of y'all and all of y'all pressing against me. That is the situation that was happening in this text. Jesus was standing in the middle of the crowd, and he was proceeding towards Jairus' house, and everybody was pressing and bumping against him, but nobody was getting what they need. They were just bumping. They were just bumping Jesus. And a lot of us came to church today. You came interested in something to eat. You came and interested in being here with your friends. Y'all came here to volunteer. So you might have came here for some other agenda. It doesn't matter what you are, but the reality is that if you did not come with the agenda to get a miracle and get an impactful touch from God, all you simply came to do is just bump into Jesus. A lot of times people come to church and they're interested in coming down here, and they're sorry for what has happened in their life, and they cry and they whimper and all those things. They go back to their seat the same exact way they came in. The reality is that you have to reach out and touch Jesus. You got to want to desire him to be an impactful motivator in your life. You have to decide that, yes, I want to study God's word, but some of us just want to bump into Jesus. You have to get in your mind, I want to come to Bible study, because I know that if I touch him and get inside of his word, a change is going to take place in my life. But no, we don't want to come because we're just interested in bumping into Jesus. We need to spend some time praying and seeking God in our private closet. But no, we don't want to pray unless we're inside of church, because we're only interested in bumping into Jesus. Right now, I want to let you know, a bump won't do. You have to get in your mind that you want to reach out and touch him so that an impact can occur in your life and a change can take place. Stop bumping into Jesus. You have to understand that God requires you to reach out and touch him. There's five things. Well, what is the fourth thing? The fourth thing is that a touch will release God's power. A touch will release God's power. See, a bump simply is what it is. It's a bump. There's no impact. There's no change that takes place. It's simply a bump. Simply a bump. Just bump the person next to you. Just bump them. Okay, bump them. Bump them. No impact. It's just a bump. Some of y'all just sitting there all quiet and boring. Let's try to get... Just bump the person next to you. Just bump them. Make them smile. Some of y'all look with all frowns and look like you had some lemons this morning for breakfast. But if when you bump, it really just doesn't have an impact. But when you touch somebody, it's for the purpose of impact. And the touch really sometimes has nothing to do with the physical connection. It has to do with the impact that takes place. In Matthew, the 14th chapter, verse 34 to 36, the Bible says, "And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when one of the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out all to the country round about him, and they brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. As many touched him were made perfectly whole." Now, in our text, in Luke, the 8th chapter, we are talking about a woman that touched the hem of his garment. But it also lets us know that the power is not in this woman touching the garment. The power is in the releasing of the power from God's presence through his garment to make you whole. When you touch God and just don't bump him, it releases power. It not only touches the women, but it even touches these men that were here at Gennesaret. So that means no matter who you are, when you release a faith to God, when you reach out and touch him and just don't bump him, what it does is release a power from God, and that power can have an impact and cause a change to take place in your life. What is the fifth thing? There's five things that we have to understand about touching God and not just bumping into him. The fifth thing is a touch with faith produces results. Just say that to your neighbor. A touch with faith produces results. Our text, Luke 8, 47 to 48. It says, "And when the woman saw," thank you. "And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people that was what cause she had touched him. And she was healed. And she was healed immediately. And when he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." There is a substantial connection between the impact God will have on your life and with the faith that you have in him. You have to understand that faith causes things to happen. Matter of fact, there is more result occurring by your faith in him doing the miracle than him having the capacity to do the miracle itself. See, you have to, yes, we understand that the source of miracles, the source of blessings, they come from God. But the way that the miracles and the source of power is accessed is through your faith. This scripture in Hebrews 11 and 6, it says that without faith, it's impossible to please him. And him that cometh unto God must believe that he is. And not only that he is, but he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The reward or the blessing that God has for your life is released by faith. Hebrews 11 and 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." It's by faith that the miracle occurs. When Jesus sees this woman, and the woman is healed by the touch. See, Jesus did not initiate the miracle. The woman initiated the miracle by her faith. Jesus is the one that caused the miracle to occur because his power was released from him and virtue went out of him. But the miracle was accessed by the woman's faith. You're going to get this in a second. In Matthew, the 15th chapter, in the 28th verse, there was a woman of Capernaum. And the woman had a daughter who was vexed with the devil.
And the Bible says in the 28th verse, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Great is thy faith. It is because of faith this woman's daughter was made whole. If you look in Mark the 10th chapter, it says, and they came to Jericho. And as they went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And in verse 52, it says, and Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith have made thee whole. And Luke 17, verse 11 to 14 and verse 19, it says, and it came to pass, and he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and he entered into a certain village, and he met 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their eyes and voices and said, Master, have mercy on us. In verse 14, it says, and when he saw them, he said unto thee, go show yourselves to the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. In verse 19, he says, and he said unto them, arise, go thy way, thy faith have made thee whole. I hope you're getting this morning. A lot of times we rely on Jesus for the miracle. And yes, Jesus is the one that does the miracle. But what accesses the miracle is your faith. What accesses the blessing in your life is by faith. See, when the woman touched the hem of his garment, she didn't bump into Jesus, but she reached out and touched him. But she touched him with faith, believing that by that touch, a miracle would take place. You have to get in your mindset, get in condition, and get into the way of life that you would not come here for alternative purposes. But the purpose of coming here is by reaching out and touching him and believing him by faith that a miracle would come into your life. Well, what are you saying? That if I don't have faith, that a miracle can't occur? Don't you realize Jesus, he had came to Nazareth. If you look in Mark the sixth chapter, the Bible says that Jesus went to Nazareth. And when they saw Jesus, they said, isn't this Joseph's boy, the carpenter's son? And Jesus himself says that because of the fact that they did not believe, because the prophet is not honored in his own land, he could not do many miracles except heal a few. A lot of times our lack of faith in believing that God can do the miracle in your life can cause you not to receive the miracle and plan that God has for your life. You have to reach out and touch Jesus. Stop bumping into him. Stop coming in here just because you want something to eat. Stop coming here just because you want to be with your friends. Stop coming here just because there's heat. Yes, those things are byproducts, and yes, they're wonderful things to come here for. But you ought to get in your mind that the reason why I'm coming is because I want to reach out and touch Jesus and get the miracle that he has for my life. God wants you to stop bumping into him and reach out and touch him so that the miracle can occur in your life. There comes a time when a bump just won't do, but you got to reach out and touch him. Put your hands together and praise God for his word today. With everyone standing on their feet real quickly, we want to challenge you. Maybe all your life, you know, you heard about this guy, Jesus. You heard about that our Jesus was passing by. You heard about this place called church. And, you know, you came here because it sounded like a good idea. But you realize that all this time you haven't been doing anything but just bumping into Jesus. But you really want to now make him Lord and King of your life. You want to touch him, that the first condition that he can heal in your life is your sin-sick soul. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we do two things. One, we are forgiven and removed from the curse of original sin that Adam cast upon us. But the second thing is that we have been forgiven of the sins that we have committed. Both of those things cause us to be damnation and to hell. But because of Jesus Christ, who gave us the victory by the cross, we now can have everlasting life. And this morning, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, and all this time in your life you've been bumping into him, but you want to make him Lord of your
your life, won't you come on down? God wants you today.
Well, praise the Lord. We hope you enjoyed today's mission message for today. We encourage you once again to sow a seed of faith into this ministry. We are the ministry that is uniting the body of Christ to reach the world to help the homeless and less fortunate. We also encourage you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. for our Sunday morning worship and breakfast. And again, any volunteer opportunity, they're located on the website at chosen300.org, where you can participate in helping the homeless and less fortunate. May God bless you and may heaven smile upon you.